Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
This pandemic particularly has driven a rift in many families where one or more members refuse to believe in the reality of COVID or the wisdom of getting vaccinated. And it's a rift that can be difficult to bridge as the use of facts doesn't seem to work. Lee McIntyre is the author of How to Talk to a Science Denier, Conversations with Flat Earthers, Climate Deniers and Others Who Defy Reason. And Lee joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Lee.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have you been studying such people for a long time, Lee?
I studied the problem of science denial as a scholar for about a decade. And then I got the idea that what I really needed to do was go out and start talking to them. And so I went to a flat earth convention and started to have conversations with people who were science deniers. And I learned a lot.
And has the concept of science denial, now I assume it's always been there to some degree or another, but has it grown exponentially over the last decade or so?
It has. I mean, you're right that science denial has existed as long as science has existed. It's grown, not surprisingly, because of the internet. Science denial is really, people misunderstand it. They think that it's an accident or a mistake. It's a lie. Science denial is a result of disinformation that's intentionally created to mislead people. And once that disinformation is created, the internet is the greatest tool for a propagandist that was ever invented, and they can get that lie out to millions.
Yeah, but given though that a lot of the time one idea that is false has to be bolstered by another idea that is false. So in the sense that if you don't believe COVID is a real serious disease, or if you don't believe COVID exists at all, you have to bolster that idea with thinking that there is a conspiracy that involves millions, if not billions, of people around the world who are all pretending something is real that isn't real.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, most science deniers, in fact, I'd say virtually all science deniers are conspiracy theorists. And so, you know, they do engage in, belief in conspiracy theories and reliance on fake experts and some illogic, too. Sometimes you'll find science deniers will believe two contradictory things and it, you know, doesn't seem to bother them very much. But you're right. Almost always behind it is some sort of a conspiracy because it's about distrust. It's not just that they have a doubt, because a doubt can be overcome by evidence. They distrust the people who are sharing the information.
Yeah, so it's a personal distrust rather than it's anything to do with logic whatsoever. You mightn't like your doctor, but you'll have to listen to what their diagnosis is. But in their case, if they don't like the doctor, he's lying.
Well, that's right. Or if they don't like what the doctor's saying, he's lying. Right. Yeah. That happens. I mean, if you had a doubt about something, if you had a legitimate question, say you were you didn't know whether the vaccines were safe because they were invented so quickly. The answers to that are out there. I mean, you can get reliable information. But if it's not a doubt, if it's rather distrust, if you think, well, the person who's answering that question is lying to me, what are you going to do? How are you going to overcome that?
Yeah. So, and is there, from the people that you've met and the people you've had conversations with, a lot of people listening might be familiar with that phrase, it's a red pill or a black pill, I forget which one it is, but is there some sort of personal epiphany that takes place in people's lives that starts them down this road?
You put your finger on something important. A lot of science deniers think of themselves, they love the movie The Matrix, right? Mm. Think that, you know, you take the red pill and then you're the one who understands reality and everyone else is either in on the conspiracy or they're sheep, right? And so in some cases, there is an epiphany. There is some sort of a thing that happened to them in their life that makes a breach in trust with other people. Others, you can think of it this way. Some science deniers are just created, right? Because if you're just, suppose you're fearful of COVID or the vaccines. I mean, you know, most anti-vax is based on fear. And then you hear, you know, all these other people in your community who are feeding you this misinformation. That can knock anybody for a loop, I think.
Yeah. Though, I mean, it's sometimes tonally And people who work in the media are invariably assailed by people with such beliefs on social media, for instance. There's also often a degree of huge smugness that goes with it, that they know something that most people don't know.
Isn't that interesting how that happens? Absolutely. People don't like to identify themselves as deniers. The folks that I've met, they think of themselves as more scientific than the scientists. They'll brag about how skeptical they are. But they really don't understand what skepticism means because, for instance, if you were afraid of the COVID vaccines and you were skeptical of them and you said, oh, they haven't been proven safe. Well, they're relying on proof. Yet some of those same people will watch partisan newscasts and think that ivermectin is a great thing to take to keep them from getting COVID. That's not skepticism. That's gullible.
Yes, it is an astonishing a mixture of credulity and utter incredulity. But again, I suppose but at the same time, somebody with that set of beliefs could make the argument that somebody, you or I, we're just completely credulous about what the mainstream media tells us, and we're not skeptical enough about that.
They could, and that's often something that you hear. Where it really goes off the rails, though, is the idea of the conspiracy. Because you think about what it would take for there to be a conspiracy, at the CDC, or, a worldwide conspiracy that the COVID vaccines were actually unsafe they're actually quite safe. Something would leak. I mean, people are just not able to keep a secret like that. The problem with conspiracy theories is if there's the slightest shred of evidence, they'll take it. And if there's no evidence, they'll say, well, that just shows you how good the conspirators are.
Yeah. Now, and you did a kind of, you went into the field, so to speak, to talk to such people. And you do write in some detail going to a Flat Earth International conference. And there are, for people listening, there are Flat Earth organizations. There's actually two in Britain. I interviewed one of them, and he was before he came on air, he was very particular that we had to identify him as belonging to one particular Flat Earth organization and not the other one, because he didn't want people mixing them up, because that would be hugely controversial. Flat Earthers, presumably, obviously, as you say, they must believe that there's a conspiracy going on there.
Oh, they do. The one that I went to is the Flat Earth International Conference in Denver, Colorado, in November 2018. They hate the Flat Earth Society. It's like that old joke about the Judean People's Front and the People's Front of Judea, right? They can't stand one another. But they're conspiracy theorists. What I heard from folks when I was at the convention is that the Flat Earth conspiracy was one that every airline pilot, every astronaut, every teacher, every scientist, every government official was in on, and it was authored by the devil. So what can you do about it? I mean, that's as big a conspiracy as there could possibly be.
Right. Okay. And you turn up there and, you work for Boston University and for Harvard Extension School. So you're part of the problem as far as they're concerned.
Well, it was interesting because I don't think they were prepared to have somebody show up face to face. I couldn't identify anybody else who was there doing what I was doing. There might have been a few, undercover like me. I kept my mouth shut the first day, but then I started to talk to them. And, they really wouldn't give me a straight answer on whether they thought I was part of the conspiracy or whether I was just one of the sheep. But, as somebody with a degree in philosophy who works in Boston, they would probably think that I was part of the conspiracy.
Mm. So what approach did you take with them then?
Well, that's what the book is about. What I learned at the Flat Earth Convention and then have thought about more as an approach to talking to science deniers is that it is actually possible to get them to listen. It's very hard to convince them. I didn't convince anybody to give up their belief in Flat Earth. But the point is this. It may seem attractive to you that if you just come armed with facts, you've got a textbook in physics or you know everything about Isaac Newton, that's going to convince them, and it won't. What actually works is recognizing that it's about trust. And so just by showing up in person, I succeeded in building some trust, I think. But the main approach is be calm, be respectful, be patient, and actually listen to what they have to say. I had some actually very interesting conversations. People were not hostile. I was a bit of a curiosity, I think, and they even said that they wanted to try to convert me. But because I didn't come at it, you know, hammer and tongs angry, but, you know, was curious about what they thought and why they thought it, we actually had some good conversations. And I had the feeling that if I had been smart enough to follow up, you know, and not just treat it as a one-off, that I might have had some progress, recognizing that they're pretty hardcore. By the time they go to a Flat Earth convention, they're pretty far gone.
Yes, indeed. There is a belief, I think it was, they've tested it, but that if you try to rebut conspiracy theorists with facts, you actually drive them more into their own bunker.
That finding was not reproduced. That was the backfire effect in 2010 by Nine and Riefler. Later study by Porter and Wood found that didn't hold up, which is great news because it means that you are not making it worse. You can go out there and talk to flat earthers or COVID deniers or anybody you want, and you're not going to make the problem worse. You may not succeed in convincing them. You probably won't succeed in convincing them. In fact, I'd say the smartest thing to do is to recognize that your greatest effect might be talking to people who already trust you, your family and friends. We all know people who are anti-vaxxers. You know, we all know people who deny evolution. Talk to them, because if you can be respectful, now this is hard sometimes to be respectful and patient with a family member, right? But you've got to do it, because that's how you build trust. And every single anecdotal account I've ever read of a hardcore denier changing his or her mind has been on the basis of engagement with somebody that they trusted, somebody who was calm and patient and kind to them.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, I mean, you can turn up and go, here's photographs of the Earth taken from space, or, you know, here's books of facts. That's not going to change anything.
Those are all faked, of course.
Yeah. So to even to get to that point of them trusting you, and I suppose that's something that declines the hostility, but how do you do that? Is it, did you ask them questions rather than try to rebut what they say?
Oh, yes. And you know, you have to be opportunistic about it. One of the greatest breaks that I had is that they said that their views were based on evidence, not faith. And so I would say, okay, well, if your view is based on evidence, then that means you're taking a scientific approach, right? Yes, absolutely right. I say, okay, well, every scientist can answer this question. What evidence would convince you that you were wrong? And they really couldn't answer that question. So see, I went for the logic. I didn't go for the fact. I didn't go for, you know, well, here's what Isaac Newton said. I went for the idea of, you know, there's an inconsistency in your reasoning, or, you know, maybe you want to think a little bit more about, you know, why you believe this one thing but not this other thing, when the, you know, the evidence is equivalent. So, you know, my goal was to make them think. My goal was to plant some seeds of doubt. They're the ones that are going to convince themselves if they're wrong. I'm not going to be able to do it. You can use facts. You can use logic. You just have to be careful to do it within the context of a respectful conversation.
Lee, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Lee McIntyre. He's the author of How to Talk to a Science Denier, Conversations with Flat Earthers, Climate Deniers and Others Who Defy Reason. And that old joke, somebody's texted in again, that the whole thing about Flat Earthers, they say they have members all over the globe.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.